The next case is agenda item number 7, Mr. Scott Griffin. Good morning, Mr. Stack.
Good morning. So you have before you an application by Mr. Scott Griffith for the planting ground. His original request was to lease approximately 15 acres within the western branch of the Courtauman River in Lancaster County. The application is protested by a number of nearby adjacent highland property owners. This application is located in the upper reaches of the western branch of the Courtauman. This location. So in 2014, we got an application from Mr. Griffith. Portions of this area along this shoreline, again, the application begins on this slide at this location and runs along the shoreline up to this location. This is another application, which I'll discuss in a moment, and another application. And then these are existing leases. These are all riparians, these smaller sections, which I'll discuss also in detail as we progress through the evaluation. We did subject it to our normal public interest review. We did not receive any objections to the application from the publication. However, Mr. Griffith inquired in 2015 on the status of his application, and as you're probably all aware, and the new commissioners should be aware, we are considerably backlogged on our applications, having received about 300 a year for the last couple of years, and we can only do about 100 to 140 a year with the staff that we have. So anyway, he asked about when the application would be surveyed. We did inform him that we were still in a considerable backlog. As a number of applicants have done in recent years, he inquired about other surveyors doing it. Any registered surveyor in Virginia can do these surveys as long as they work with us. So he did hire the Bay Design Group to survey the application for him. And very soon thereafter, we got quite a few protests start to come in as the ground was staked and flagged in the field. The nature of those objections are in your packet. They're summarized in a list. It's part of your packet. The nature of most of those protests include the use of the nearshore area by the residents adjacent to Courtauman by the Bay subdivision, which you can see some of it in this slide. It goes further to the south here as well. But a number of residents along the shoreline did send us letters of objection related to both nearshore use, navigation, potential aquaculture use of the lease with cages, and the conflict that might present in the nearshore area, as well as some navigation concerns related to the number of private piers here and access to and from the piers, and just the general commercial use of the shoreline along a residential area of the shore. The application was surveyed by Bay Design Group, and just I want to mention that this is one of the old leases that used to be there, and we believe that there was another one that I couldn't find the plat for because it was so old, but this lease is turned sideways, but we believe that that lease was actually along this stretch of shoreline in the past. Over years, those were given up for either lack of use or non-payment of rent, and you will note that there are some narrow leases here that run along the shore to the south. There were leases, like I said, similar to that. There was another lease to the north here that just reverted just recently. So there is a history of having some leases here along the shoreline. Natural oyster growth appears to occur on this harder bottom that's right near the shoreline. So it is an area where oysters, we believe, will grow. So when Bay Design Group did the survey, by that time we had gotten some riparian applications had come in or were coming in. However, they surveyed an area staying off some of the piers that are there. So this was the lower section that they surveyed. The application goes further to the north, but was kind of cut off by an existing riparian that was already there. This was the only riparian that was still valid in this area from years past. This represents to the north of that. This is that same riparian I was just pointing to. And this is a little cove area where the subdivision has a boat ramp and a pier. So they stayed offshore of the pier. There's also a condemnation line here related to the use of the ramp. So we don't lease in areas that are condemned. So Bay Design Group shaped this so that it would avoid that area as a continuation of the lease. And then just to the north of this a little ways was also a condemnation area. So the lease couldn't go any further north there as well. So this is kind of a busy slide. I'm not going to leave it up very long, but because I got a better representation of this. But I just wanted to show that this is a competing application submitted by Mr. Elman, who is a resident and a member of the Coratomen by the Bay Association. They submitted this in competition with Mr. Griffith in hopes that if he did not lease this, that perhaps they could lease it adjacent to their subdivision. They also applied for a riparian in this location where the boat ramp is and have received that. And that was put in the name of the actual Coratomen by the Bay Incorporated Association there that manages the, I guess, the common areas for the subdivision. And this is another existing pending application in the name of Kellum. The two parcels that Bay Design Group did survey contain 7.96 acres for the lower section and 0.88 acres, respectively. We did eventually receive 27 objections to this application. Over a period of several months after the original application was surveyed, we received 10 riparian applications from residents within the subdivision that had enough frontage to qualify for a riparian. Some of the lots do not have enough frontage to qualify. Since riparian applications take precedence over regular applications, we noted that we would have to facilitate surveying all the riparians before we could take any final action on the Griffith application, since they take precedence. We did have some conversations with Bay Design Group, who indicated they might be interested in doing a number of the riparians. They did reach out to some of the residents, but at some point decided that they would not be interested in doing the riparian surveys. So that threw it back to us with our backlog. But in order to get this moving, we started working on the riparians, and amazingly, we actually finally got up there and surveyed them all in one day with the survey crew in the Northern Neck. So this map depicts the final result of that, and it's a little complicated, so I'm going to try to go through it and explain it. There's a riparian off the screen here, which is kind of beyond the scope of the Griffith application. And then one here, another here, 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 here. This was an existing riparian that already was in existence. Another one here, another here, north of the boat ramp area, and then one off the screen here to the north. The black dashed line represents the Bay Design Group survey in the second survey up here. You'll note that this survey has pretty much been encumbered by riparians, leaving very little ground. Also, this would be the access to get into the cove where the ramp is actually physically located, is inside the cove, and there's also a pier here. Bay Design Group did avoid the piers as they exist, but in some areas they did go into the shoreline where there aren't any piers and then came back out. There are a number of piers down this reach of shoreline, which is why they stayed basically offshore. There are some gaps between the piers, but they're pretty narrow. And when we survey these type now, we try to avoid going in and out around people's piers because it usually creates protest. And Bay Design Group understands that, and they did a similar. We did meet with Coratomen by the Bay residents without the applicant initially to hear their concerns. and explain how this works, about the riparians, and that prompted, you know, a few more riparian applications. And we agreed to take a look at the Bay Design Group survey on its own and determine whether we thought that it was reasonable the way they'd surveyed it. And we heard some specific concerns about that survey. So after that meeting, and as part of the day when we did the riparian surveys, I did take a look at the way it was staked by Bay Design Group, and felt particularly this one corner right here did present kind of an issue with a pier there for access, and suggested that we move that corner further offshore to kind of alleviate that, give more room for the person to navigate their boat in and out. And basically tried to come up with a compromise area that might be leasable. So that's depicted by this thinner line that you see here, and coming down through, around here and back offshore. So it basically shifted part of the application further offshore in this area than what Bay Design Group surveyed, and definitely shifted the inshore line some in this area. Unfortunately, the result of that is most of this area that is the compromise area is softer, kind of muddy bottom. We did probe it. Mr. Griffith, I think, will discuss, you know, what he wants and what's suitable bottom here. We did show this to the residents as well. I think they still are in objection to even leasing this section as well. This did represent a compromise to some degree. We did provide this drawing to Mr. Griffith so that he had an idea of what staff was thinking related to a compromise here. And it was proposed that we make one more attempt to meet and see if we could come up with a compromise that was acceptable. We did meet just recently at the Coratomen by the Bay Clubhouse. Mr. Griffith was invited and did attend, and a number of the residents did attend. And basically, we looked at this map and had a discussion, and the long story short of that is that we did not come to any agreement on a suitable compromise to include the staff compromise area. Mr. Griffith continues to seek the area he originally applied for, which would be all the way up near the shoreline, near the mean low water line, in any area that's not under a pier, which we would definitely recommend against leasing under anyone's private pier. We don't typically do that. After that meeting, it was clear that a number of the residents still objected to the application, even in its modified form. And there are a few people who were strongly still objecting to leasing any area at all. Again, Mr. Griffith indicated that he wished to continue to lease the area as he had applied for, and asked that this be brought before the commission for final resolution. So in summary, we do review each horse to ground application relative to the specific circumstances associated with that location, whether the bottom is suitable, the proposed use by the applicant, which, by the way, Mr. Griffith has repeatedly said he does not plan to put cages on this lease, but he could legally under our regulation. He made that clear to the residents. But there's still objections. We also consider other uses of the area to include navigation and recreation. For this application, it appears leasing any area inside what we call the existing pier headline, which would be the area offshore of the general alignment of the piers in this area, would create a hazard for navigation and also would impact recreational uses by the adjacent highland property owners that use this for recreational swimming, wading, tubing, and other activities. The Bay Design Group survey has now been considerably altered due to the number of riparian leases that impacted it. As an alternative, we did suggest the adjustment to avoid both the riparian areas and to further mitigate the near shore area of this use of this area. We do not believe any of the area north of the Rosenfield riparian, which is located right here, is suitable due to the number of riparians, period. We did come up with this compromise alignment offshore, but the bottom in that area is probably less than desirable unless you've got a whole lot of shell that you could put on the bottom to make it suitable. And we believe under the current cost of shell that that would be a financially probably a marginal effort if you could do it at all. Therefore, after careful consideration of the ongoing objections by the local residents, the potential user conflicts that leasing this area may result in, and the possibility that future aquaculture activity could be done on this lease in the future by the applicant or a future leaseholder if it's transferred or could be subleased, and the limited suitable remaining bottom land in the area, the muddy offshore area, we do recommend denial of the entire application. Be happy to answer any questions. The applicant is here. The protestants are here and do have a presentation, I think, that they would like to show you, possibly. We'll get to that.
Are there questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Mr. Griffith, please come forward, sir. Let me swear you in here. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Sir. Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
My name is Scott Christopher Griffith.
Mr. Griffith, what else do we need to know?
I don't know. The first thing Mr. Stagg showed you, that original plat that they were able to produce, that's a plat from 1923. This place has been Oyster Shore since there was Oyster Shore. I mean, and you can also see traditionally, historically, the good shore in that river is up against the shore. Obviously, when the oysters start dying off in the early 80s and there really wasn't a lot of productivity, this subdivision came along. A lot of docks were put in this area, which do compromise part of the areas, but the people that were able to get a riparian had large enough area to do so, have done so, and I would ask that the commission give me the area that I originally applied for minus those riparians and continue it on to the upriver where there was a lease that, as he said, just below the condemnation line. We were, the initial application was supposed to stop at that lease, which that lease no longer is in existence. Also, the members of the Homeowners Association, one of the members has an application on the rest now, which obviously is to block anyone else from doing any type of business like this, which I believe your counsel could probably tell you is a direct violation of the code. You can't take up Oyster Shore to block other people from taking up Oyster Shore.
Oyster ground leases are for the purposes of propagating oysters.
Yes, sir. That's what I seek to do.
That's state law.
As he did say, I have no intention of planting any cages there. I'm kind of a one-man band. The idea is to plant shell or spout on shell or seed and to dredge it. I'd like to be able to use this small sliver. If this isn't granted and it's thrown out, it's going to be the only piece of shoreline in the Carrotoman River that is not Oyster Shore. And it's been there forever.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Griffith, I have a question.
Sir.
Do you have other leases?
I do. And I also have leases that were obtained since this lease was applied for, and they also all extend directly to mean low water in the areas. All around where people's homes are, where people's docks are. No one protested any of those. I had a few questions in regard to aquaculture, which I told them all that it was not my intention to do any of that. It was all to be cultivated on the bottom.
As a wild guess, how many acres do you think you have under lease in your name?
I have 80, I believe.
Okay.
I have a few that are being transferred, and I have about another 300 that have applications on them right now.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
I know you're in favor of your original application.
Sorry.
The compromise that staff has proposed.
Sure.
I think staff said that the financial benefit of that would be kind of negligible. Would you be interested in that at all, or is that just not worth it?
I need to get inshore to where the good bottom is. And the reality of the situation, and I think many of the residents in the community had a concern about shells and, you know, people using beach line, shoreline. Well, the simple fact is the oysters are there now. poked around with tongs. I probed it. It's there. So if they're not cutting their feet already, it's because they're not going that far out in the water. I have no intention to shell it all the way to the shoreline because I'd never be able to harvest it. You know, obviously I want to put it where I can work it. And, you know, it's, like I said, and in terms of the stakes and hazards of navigation, we would only need to stake it when we're going to work it. I want to stake the extreme corners, but in terms of staking around all those docks or all those riparians, it's no need to have those stakes there and be any hazard of navigation. The only, like I said, the only time it needs to be marked is when we would potentially work it. So I don't see where there's a huge problem.
Mr. Tankard.
And so it sounds like from your testimony, you've been doing this for a while. You have some experience. You're not a so-called newbie to this deal.
No, sir. I've been around it.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the industry, please?
I work, you know, summertime, I'm a peeler potter. My wife and I actually just bought a seafood business that had gone out of business for the shedding facility. So full-time peeler potting in the spring and summer. Oyster Public Rot in the wintertime, and then work some other private shore aside from my own. All wild caught stuff. I don't mess with any cages or any aquaculture. My in-laws do have some, but they have that on their own leases. So that's, like I said, I've grown up around it my whole life, been doing all this stuff, but just trying to make a little further move to give myself some other things to do in my downtime. And this was a little sliver that we, the only reason that this reverted back to the state was the fellow that owned it prior to my application married a woman out of state, which, as you know, if you're not a resident of the state of Virginia, you can't hold Oyster Shore. So he forfeited it by marrying and changing his residency. As soon as I found that out, I put an application in to take it up. It's unfortunate that I couldn't just get it from him before he had done that, and we wouldn't even be here at all. But it's, like I said, it's been Oyster Shore since the state recognized Oyster Shore and did surveys on it. It's, you know, it's historically a productive bottom. I didn't seek it out just on a whim. And as Mr. Stagg said, you know, he advised me that staff had no time in the very near future, and if I was interested in getting this thing, that I'd handle the survey on my own, which we sought out to do. So that's where we are at this point.
Thank you.
Are there other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in favor, in support of this application? I don't see anyone. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Bob, please come forward. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Robert Bennett, and I live at, we have a prop. Oh, yes, you can set that up. I have a property at 219 Bayview Drive in Carrollton by the Bay, and I have served as president from 2015 to 2017 of the association, and I'm continuing as a board member on the Carrollton by the Bay Association board. So I speak for the board as well as many of the riparian and non-riparian property owners. This is a family community, it's a unique waterfront recreational community, and it was established in 1967. In fact, this past summer, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. There are 591 lots and 302 families that own those lots in the community. There are 108 waterfront properties and about 125 homes in total. All property owners enjoy the waterfront. This community was set up so that even if you're not a waterfront property owner, that you have access to the water through a community waterfront facility. We also, a lot of people buy in our development because of the recreational facilities that we have. We have, in addition to waterfront access to the western branch of the Carrotomen River, we also have a saltwater swimming pool, clubhouse, which is very actively used, brand new tennis and pickleball courts, which are Olympic quality. We have a 9-hole golf course and playground, pavilion, and then other activities like basketball and that sort of thing. So the waterfront facility that we have, it includes a pier as well as 10 boat slips, which allow people within the community to use those boat slips. We also have a boat ramp, and this allows all of the residents to take their trailers and go down and use the facility, and get, and you have access. We have a boat tie-up area and a kayak storage rack area and launch. We all have, also have a sand beach there, a picnic area, and a parking area. So we're unique in that everyone, all 302 families, are able to use the waterfront. In Lancaster County, which we're located, that's usually not the case. If you're an inland property owner, you may have a few access points that the county provides, but it's very limited access. Okay. So I'd like to turn it over to the chairman of our committee that has been working for the past 2 years on this issue, Bill Ellman, to run through the reasons for the protest. Thank you.
Mr. Ellman? Let me swear you in here, please, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Help me God, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Bill Ellman. I live at 52 East Highview Drive in Lancaster County, and that's in Carrotomen by the Bay. Now, first statement I want to make is that we agree with Mr. Staggs and the staff's recommendation, which you assumed we would. Our reasons for protest are essentially three. The primary one is safety. Secondary property values, which you've heard and hear all the time, and then the commercial operation in a recreational area. To give you an idea of some of the things that go on, you can see the easy way of living up above, and then, of course, the kids having a great time. And these are Jesse and Jack Lindemann having a good time, and believe it or not, Jesse and Jack are here today. Okay, recreation safety, why are we concerned? As Robert said, everyone in our community has access to the water and does it and uses it daily. You can see right here what are all the activities that go on, boating, jetting, skiing, swimming, fishing, you name it, it's right there. And interestingly enough, we even have people that take these large multi-person floats out on the weekend, move it out into our area, and have a great time. Right here we have Tyler. Now, this is the reason I have this here is I just want you to see what the original stakes looked like when they were just put in. Now, Tyler's standing in the water. There's a stake, and it's 5 feet from the water. I think Tyler's here today. Mike, you remember yourself doing that? That was an interesting situation. Okay. Also, along with the recreational safety situation, we have something called shells on the ground. You've heard a few moments ago of people saying if they've been in the water now, they should have cut their feet on the shells. Well, that's a problem that we don't want to have encounter in our community. Broken stakes are a serious problem. and cages on the ground, and I'll talk about both those in a few minutes. But I want to go back and talk about this recreation safety situation. We have, as you know, a unique recreational community. We've got families and friends. All of them are there. We have folks that spend their time there all the time. They work in the community, in the outlying community. We have weekenders, folks that come down on a weekend and take advantage of everything. And then we have retirees. We also have many owners who live outside of our community. They live in Lancaster County or Richmond County. And they've purchased those properties, as Robert said, to take advantage of the amenities. And the heavy use that we get from those folks is the boat ramp, because, as was mentioned before, access to the western branch of the Coratomon River is very limited in Lancaster County. 302 property owners with their families and friends. That's a lot of people, and many of those are very active young people. When we look at cages, stakes, and shells, we know those are a hazard to all waterfront activities. Currently, because of the stakes that we have that are as a result of all this work that's been going on, all of our water skiing, water boarding, and tubing is forced now out of our local front area into the main channel. And as a result, they're competing with the boats going up and down the river and doing the same thing. This not only has an adverse navigation, but again, it indicates the safety situation we're talking about. Now, you can see there the kids are having a good time again. And I had to put that one picture in because that stake is right there in front of one of your signs that says you can't do anything with shellfish. Marine navigation and safety. At this point in time, before I get into that, I'm going to ask Susan Lindemann to come up, because Susan has to leave with her kids because they have dental activity this afternoon, and Susan wants to say something. So, Susan, come up.
Susan, before we do that, I have one quick question here, and it's just personal curiosity. You have a pickleball court.
Yes, we
do. What is pickleball?
Hey, now, wait a minute.
I honestly don't know what pickleboard is. Can somebody explain that just real basic?
Who's the greatest pickleball player? Have this team come up and explain.
I don't want to sidetrack this. Never.
Enjoy. It's, come on. You got to lighten this place.
You play tennis?
Yes,
okay.
Kind of.
It's a shorter tennis court, and you use a paddle, and you use like a wiffle ball with holes in it, and we used to play with four people, and so as we get older, we use half the court, and we have more fun.
Hand-eye wiffle ball coordination is not my strong suit, but thank you very much. Didn't mean to go off on a tangent here. Would you like to testify? Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
So help me God.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Susan Lindemann.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm neighbors of all of these folks in CBTB, and we are on Bayview Drive as well. My kids are Jack and Jesse, two of them that have been jumping off the dock. Our biggest concern here, I think, is safety, more than anything else. There is, as they've alluded to, lots of traffic on the river, and particularly in our area. I grew up just downriver in the summers from where we are in CBTB, off Lowry Creek Road. My grandfather was a Pollard. They were big landowners in the area way back in the 40s. So I grew up in that area. But even back then, in the late 60s and early 70s, where we went for fun was upriver. We water skied upriver. We did all of that in this area right off CBTV because it was a safer place to be that had less boat traffic. Now that I've got kids of my own who spend most of their time on the weekends in the water, whether it's jumping off the end of the dock, whether it's paddleboarding, whether it's kayaking, whether it's tubing and now kneeboarding and soon to be wakeboarding, they're in the water all weekend long. And when you could see that picture of Tyler Nelson and how close that stake was to the shoreline, it's so concerning to me. It was interesting hearing all the conversation about the Eastern Shore just a little while ago. My husband and I had a place on the Eastern Shore for 7 years before we moved over and bought the place here in Courtauld and by the bay. The weekend drive just got to be too great going back and forth to the Eastern Shore. But several times each summer on that Cape Charles beach, we would have kids of friends who ended up in the emergency room as they're out walking around on the rocks and getting cut by shells on the rocks. That's what we don't want to see happen here. The area is just, we're in that crotch. If we went back to that picture and the map, we're in that crotch where docks are almost on top of each other as we all jockey for position to be able to get boats in and on lifts and that sort of thing. And the fact that those oyster leases could come right up almost to those docks where those kids are jumping off at the end, it just doesn't seem to be a safe decision to make. He has significant leases already in place, all, you know, of whatever, 80 acres or 90 acres, and applications in for 300 acres somewhere else. I don't understand the logic behind taking this particular area and adding it to his acreage when it's an area that is so used not just by CBTB but by folks downriver as well for recreational purposes.
Is there somebody else you want to hand the baton to?
I think it's back to Bill.
I got a sense you coordinated this.
You think?
Who's next?
Marine navigation safety and the hazards. Stakes. We all know that stakes are required by law as markers, and we understand that. But we've had problem areas as a result of these stakes. The first thing I'm going to talk about is hitting them with boats. As we talked about, there's a lot of water activity going on there. But I'm going to talk about Rocky Boykin. Rocky Boykin is, we call him our dock master. He's quite a fisherman. He fishes every day. And there was a time when I thought that another gentleman I'm going to talk about by the name of Joe Dickens knew all the holes in the Courtauld River, the best places to fish. It's Rocky now. Rocky goes out every day, and he comes back at night after dark. Well, probably a week or two after the stakes went in, first thing he said, Bill, you got to believe me. I've hit these darn things 3 times. Okay. And he said, you know, you can't see them at night. You know, it's all these problems that exist. And he has his problem. So we were out one day, 4 of us on his pontoon boat, taking some of these pictures that you've seen. And with 4 of us looking, we ended up running into these stakes because there are areas that we expect to be free, and they aren't. They're open there. Now, Joe Dickens, who's the other gentleman I told you that knows the river, I had a chance to talk to. Joe came to me about a year ago and said, Bill, up and down the river, we've got all these stakes. They're this way, they're that way. But the thing he was concerned about is they were starting to come down and in the water. Okay. You got to have, yeah,
excuse me,
have markers.
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt here. The commission's agenda here at this point is likely to keep us here until 6 o'clock tonight. If you can get to the point and stick to the point and stop with the so-and-so knew somebody who said something that's maybe pertinent, I'd be much obliged, sir.
I'll take care of it. Okay. I want to get to the broken stakes because that's one thing we don't want to have in our community. What I was leading to is yesterday I talked to Joe, and he said, Bill, you better start looking down that river because these stakes have been hit by boats and they've broken off. Another friend of mine who's in Carter Creek, around from us, that you know the water area, he said, Bill, when he heard we were involved in this, he said, Bill, the thing I'm worried about in Carter Creek is all these stakes that have broken off that are like this, and I'm waiting for the first person to get impaled. Now, I brought some examples. This is the way one of these things looks. This is bamboo.
What happens when that's off? That's what you get. If it's in the water like this, what happens if you've got water skiers or tubers coming along and they hit this thing? Same thing with these PVC pipes. These are the ones that Joe's talking about that are broken off. The other problem we're having is we are in a tidewater area.
Tide goes up, tide goes down. Sometimes they're right above the water where they're supposed to be. Sometimes they're right at the water and you really can't see them. And if they're below the water, I don't have to tell you what happens there. Cages, whether you have them on the bottom or they're floating, you have to have those markers there. The whole thing impacts raft offs, anchorages, congested areas. But the thing we want to remind people is there no conditions can be put to a commercial ground lease. Subsequent owners, lessees can have cages. It's a right without restriction. We understand Mr. Griffith says he has no intention to do that. The fact is, that's what happens. That's allowed to anyone who has the ground lease. We talked about the original amount requested for that lease. There are 25 piers in that area. The area that was reduced down to about 3.6 acres, there are 13 piers in that area. Okay, that's one of those big things, like those big floats that we used to talk about. Property values quickly. We have retirees, weekenders, and folks that are locally employed. Again, you heard about Lancaster County today offers potential newcomers two things, retirement and vacation homes. People don't come there for jobs. And the realtor told me, filling the waterfront with cages or pole markers destroys the waterfront value as well as off-the-water property values in the unique community like we have. All right. The Supreme Court of Virginia, I just put this on here because I thought it was kind of interesting. Why do people pay a premium for property on the water? Their answer was, besides the ambience and the view, owning land in contact with the water of a river, bay, or creek or ocean includes valuable riparian property rights. In addition, they went one step forward. The littoral or riparian nature of property is often a substantial, if not the greatest, element of its value. This is true whether the owner uses his access to the sea for navigation, fishing, bathing, or the view. Commercial operation. We believe it's incompatible with our unique, isolated, highly developed waterfront area. One of the things I want to bring out, again, extremely active area, congested, and it was stated before by Mr. Stagg, the ground really is not suitable for oyster farming because of the mud. A personal experience is my dock is 150 feet out. I have a fish light. That fish light, when you put it in the water, floats about, I have it set about 24 inches above the water.
Okay. We've got it. We get the idea. Could you wrap it up for us, please? Keep in mind, this has probably been pretty new to you, but we deal with this routinely. So we understand marking regulations. We understand buy rights for lease ground. We understand you have concerns about hazard and navigation. This is a heavily recreational usage. Sum it up or add something that we haven't heard, please.
Our request for denial of this lease area is not taking anything away Mr. Griffith has now. To the contrary, his request for approval is taking away something from all of us. I'd like the folks from Coratoma by the Bay to stand that are still here. Thank you. We understand the Marine Resources Commission's role in balancing the promotion of commercial oyster farming with the benefits of enjoyment of owners' waterfront homes and the surrounding community for recreation, safety, and navigation. With the hundreds of applications pending before the commission, we respectfully suggest that our small, unique community, which has been properly evaluated by VMRC staff as not well suited to commercial oyster farming due to the extraordinary density of our piers, boats, kayaks, jet skis, et cetera, including dogs, children, and adults swimming, fishing, crabbing, and recreating in and around the water, that this application be denied.
Other questions from the commission? It's a thorough presentation. I don't see any questions. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify on this matter? Please come forward. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Rebecca Nelson.
Rebecca Nelson, can you add something that we have not heard yet?
I can.
Please.
I don't know if we can put the chart back up that shows our lots.
We can do that.
But we own up to the point with my neighbor, Jeff Rosenfeld. And so we're definitely personally invested in this. Just to give you guys a little perspective, my husband and I bought our house in 2015. We met our realtor there early, and I walked out to the pier, looked over, saw the beach to the left, and said to my husband, "We're buying this house. I don't even need to go inside." How many women do that? So we bought that house, not on the house, on the land and where it is located. We also purchased the lot right next to us. So we're at the point where Mr. Griffith's application comes all the way up and the compromise from the red is located. I appreciate Mr. Griffith coming to our community and speaking, but he has made some assumptions that are incorrect. Partly of why I wanted to purchase this property was for the land. I'm raising a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. We're an active family. I also have two Labrador retrievers. They probably go in the water as much or more than my kids do. We do run the beach. I'm not going to bore you with video, but I could show it to you. I do buy water river shoes. They don't wear them, and they're not cutting their feet. So this might have grown oysters back in the 60s, and we purchased the additional lot from the parents who owned that back in 1967. I'm sure back then it did. They're not there now, or at least we're not seeing it. So I wanted to make you aware of that. It's not that we're not using the property. We use it, and we use it a lot. And also, our shoreline changes. So I know you're all aware of that. We're actually a unique family. We like the winter time better. We're actually down here almost more in the winter because it's quieter and it's calmer. When we hired VMRC to come out and do our riparian rights, I was a little concerned about the stakes that needed to be just to mark my riparian area, and that is because where we're located with our cove, it is high traffic area. There are days I don't even feel like I need to own a boat. I've been on a boat because I can see everybody turning right in front of my property. So I just wanted to throw that out there because Mr. Griffin made an assumption that they're there and we're cutting our feet and we're not using it. We are using it. It's not there right now, and I just want to make sure that you knew that.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify? Please tell me it's something that we haven't heard.
It is.
Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
So help you God.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Jeff Craven of a property at 97 Dock Road.
Welcome.
And CBTV. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, you raised earlier the other applications and granted licenses that Mr. Griffith has. So my only role here today is to put into the record the facts of what he has. So I've got copies. I've got a copy for Mr. Griffith as well. Where should I leave that so I can get after this stage here?
Mr. Stagg will take that.
Thank you.
Oh, it's for the board. Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to be heard on this matter? Mr. Griffith, you have a couple minutes to wrap up and the rebut. Would you like to take advantage of that?
One more.
Oh, 1 second. Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Jeffrey Rosenfeld. I live at 264 East Highview Drive, Corcoran, Mother Bay, in Lancaster County. I have filed a protest, and I am the Rosenfeld on there that has the riparian ground lease, and I will not repeat anything you just heard. First thing I want to say is, Mr. Griffith referenced there's a history of leasing along the shoreline. That was before any residential development. That was before Court Tillman by the Bay. Second point I'd like to make is you heard Mr. Griffith say he has no intentions of developing along the shoreline. He can change his mind. There cannot be, as I hope you all realize, any conditions on the lease. Mr. Griffith could put cages and floats along the shoreline if he chooses to. There's no prohibition. He can sell, assign his lease, and the assignee can put cages along the shoreline. So we have said to you all, our primary focus here is the safety of our children and our grandchildren. These cages along the shoreline and floats will not promote safety. The document Mr. Craven gave you, if you could look at it, please, it shows that Mr. Griffith has, I believe, 354 acres either assigned to him or pending. I realize your job is to balance the Chesapeake Bay and the water rights, navigable waters going into it, with commercial leasing and the homeowners and recreation. What we represent at Court Tillman by the Bay is a unique conclave. There's no development above us and below us. The 15 acres that Mr. Griffin is seeking represents 4% of his total available acreage that he's going after. The 3.5 acres represents 1% of the available assigned acres and what he is seeking. And we're asking you, when you balance the needs of the community, we are a unique community. But what's really concerning to us is the 3.5 acres, 3.6 acres, that could be a compromise with muddy waters. And we met at our clubhouse about a month ago. What really concerned us was Mr. Griffith telling us, no, I want all the way to the shoreline between the docks. I would ask you in your discretion, please, deny the entire application. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Mr. Griffith, please come forward. Let me give you a few minutes to rebut or to otherwise make your case.
I won't keep you guys any longer than necessary. The only thing I would ask, like I said before, that I'd like to ask you guys to give me what I initially sought at, minus the riparians. And if we can't do that, because when I initially embarked on all this, it was with the support of staff saying that this was historically worth the shore, they would support me leasing it. Now they're backing up. I would ask that if you're not going to give me anything, refund my survey fee.
Questions?
I would never got a private surveyor if staff hadn't said we support this.
So. Well, now I have to ask Mr. Stagg to come forward. Mr. Stagg, did you or anyone on staff ever say indicate to Mr. Griffin that you would support his application as originally proposed?
No more than anybody that applies. I mean, we accept the applications and we certainly evaluate them. This was vacant bottom that he did apply for. We do have a policy of not leasing under people's piers. We do go in and out around piers if the applicant tells us that's exactly what he wants to do when we survey it. We usually caution them that it's going to cause a protest. We never got to that point with this one of actually surveying it.
How many years have you been doing this, Mr. Stack?
1983.
That would be 34 years?
I can't count that out.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Griffin, anything else you want us to know?
No, sir.
All right. Last call. Anybody want to testify on this case at all? Period.
We'll clarify, Mr. Craven said floats or cages. You could only put cages on a lease up to 12 inches. Floats would require a whole separate permit. permitting process.
You have a question to staff?
Yeah, a question for Mr. Stagg.
Mr. Ballard.
Do we have a picture of other leases in the area, a map that would show this application along with any other current leases in this area or surrounding areas?
Well, this is probably the biggest version we have. I could go on the web and we could zoom all around, but this is the lease that Mr. Griffith alluded to that is now gone. And there were leases kind of like this along a lot of the shoreline historically. This is another one. This is an existing lease. So Mr. Griffith is right that a large portion of the Western Branch of Coratomen did have these smaller leases along the shoreline in that shallow water area where the bottom's hard, which would lend itself to growing oysters. These reverted in this area, but they all predated. They did predate the Coratomen on the Bay subdivision, and there were no piers here at the time. These were surveyed in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. You can tell by the plat file number, this is an 8 or a 5205. That means it's really old. That's a really old plat file number. This one has reverted since he applied, but it was active when we were processing this.
Mr. France, one second. Since I've seen nobody else asked to testify, I'm going to close the public hearing now and present the matter to the commission for discussion and action. And Mr. France has a question to staff. Mr. France.
Yes. So are there other leases going in and out of docks around these in this area?
State that again.
Are there other leases that go all the way to the shore?
Yes.
And around?
Yes. I mean, this one right here, there are piers in this one, but the piers came after the lease. So they peered through the lease. And as we heard this morning, the law about the 100-foot is relatively new. In the past, you had the right to peer out through a person's lease. There was a mechanism for the leaseholder to have some time to move his shells or oysters out of the way of the pier, and then the pier builder could proceed. If he didn't do it within his allotted time, they could still proceed. The 100-foot and all that, that's a fairly recent thing, but these older leases that are along this shoreline in the western branch of the Coratomen, almost all of them are pre-old and predated most of the development. So there's more piers that came in the lease than there are leases where, you know, we went. We don't survey under private piers unless you're the applicant.
So there was a compromise that kind of meant that they could move the lease off the end of the piers.
I mean, we've proposed here, you know, moving offshore to avoid all the piers and try to market it in a way so that it would minimize the impact as much as possible to navigating around the stakes to the piers. It is probably not the best bottom, though. It's soft, and which is why we ultimately came to the conclusion that to just not recommend leasing here at all. There are some areas that have become areas within the state where leasing is just really not appropriate anymore because there's so much other kinds of uses, private piers and recreational use. And it's a balancing act with each application. So.
Any other questions from the commission? Well, you've heard a lot of testimony. You've heard both sides. You've heard the staff's presentation and the staff recommendation. Now is the time for discussion and action. What do you all want to do? Mr. Ballard.
This is certainly a tough one because of the historical sort of nature of this area, and I do agree that this probably used to be used for oysters all the time, but as we see, shorelines change, times change, areas change, and we have to balance the homeowner needs with the industry. It's something we see every meeting. And I think this is one of those areas that is just tough to lease. And I move to accept the staff recommendation of denying the application.
So motion by Mr. Ballard to accept the staff recommendation denying the application. Is there a second? Is there a second?
So moved.
Second by Mr. Tankard. I think this probably takes a bit of discussion.
Sure.
Mr. France had his hand up first.
Yeah, you know, if we go with the compromise off the end of the docks, we still have the stake problem. It's still there. As a matter of fact, it even puts it further into the main use of where people would recreate. recreation is a summertime thing most of the time, and I'm sure right now there's slews of crab pots going up and down that area, same area that is recreated in. I see commercial use there right now, and it's probably going to continue all the time. You know, you're talking about a one-man operation of one boat right now, and I would support what little bit he wants. That's what I think.
Mr. Tanker.
So let me clarify. You're saying you would support a compromise here?
No, I would support what Mr. Griffith wants.
Okay, you would. Okay. Yeah, the only thing that gives me heartburn on it is that this was, in fact, leased in the past. And, in fact, it was leased before this was a development. However, you know, again, as I mentioned, user conflict is something we continue to run up against. And the pitfalls of stakes and the stake that he shows there, I've seen them much more jagged and ugly than that. And I didn't really get the idea that when boat hits them after they've been out there for a while, that's how they end up like that, I guess. In any case, we have to deal with the conditions that present themselves today, and I see two, as the protestants have so well put forth, there's a lot of use here that I think it would be tough to lease the bottom as a result of the current use, current status of that area.
Mr. Zedrin.
I want to thank both sides. Excellent presentation. Makes their job really hard. As you all probably saw one of the applications here, the protesters didn't show up. That makes their job a lot easier. But, you know, eyeball to eyeball, it means a lot to us and for your time to come down here. We're here for developing the industry and the watermen and that type of thing. But, you know, as much as I hate it, times are changing. The laws are changing. This is Lynn Haven all over, in Lynn Haven Inlet all over again. And as a result, the legislature creating new laws, just the fact that, you know, 1920 or 30s, you know, the desire was not to go to the beach, to the water. And people were afraid of the water. But that's not what's happening today. Everybody is going to the water, and these developments, like this one here, are fantastic. They provide a safe environment as opposed to one person having a place on the water. And the fact that we had commercial leases back in those days, I don't think should drive our decision, because we have to consider the change. And change is everywhere. I think this is probably the best presentation by the protesters that I've seen since I've been on the commission. Very thorough, very sincere, very pointed at the significant factors that we need to be concerned with. You know, I'm a boater too. So I don't like the stakes either and things like that. I'm a guy that used to have a place on the water that had the jet skis. We pulled the kids with the rafts and stuff like that. And this stuff is devastating if you hit one of those things. So I think they made a good case, and I support the staff recommendation to deny.
And so do I. I think staff got it exactly right in this regard here. The homeowners gave a good presentation. That's certainly true. We're all very familiar with the issues here. I think that they highlighted that this is in particular a heavily used recreational area, and I am reminded that sometimes supporting the industry and the oyster industry means preventing them from doing something that's really not necessarily in their long-term best interests, because right now we have the industry enjoying wide public support. But I don't believe that wide public support will continue to last if these leases are granted in places that are ripe for conflict. And to that end, I will not support this application. I'm going to vote to deny it. Is there other discussion? Well, we have a motion and a second on the table here to deny the application per the staff recommendation unless we hear a substitute motion. Well, that's the motion and that's the second, and I am going to call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No.
Mr. Miner, Mr. France, anybody else vote no? Vote was 7-2, and the application is denied.